my first question is, how did it start, and why did you start this project together?
We mainly started it because we were working on a radio station in London called Resonance FM. We helped to create the station and we worked there. Knut was the first manager for a few years. And because it became quite a popular project, it was interesting because it was set up by a community of artists, which was a different basis to bring together a community to make radio. It started getting noticed by different people around Europe, and we, Knut and I, started to get invited to different countries to talk about it or just to be there when other people's projects were starting up and to meet people. And then we were asked to make workshops and talks and things. So we started leaving London for a few weeks at a time, traveling around, doing a bit of work in other countries. And there came a point where I was completely fed up. I didn't want to stay in London anymore. And I felt like we'd done our job at Resonance, you know, we'd done what we could. And it was working very well. So we decided to set off together and see if we could carry on doing radio projects around Europe as a permanent ongoing thing, which is what we did. And the initial phase, that phase of our project lasted 2 years, where we were just moving from country to country, different towns, either doing workshops, showing people how to make radio, doing experimental music, which we also use a bit of radio technology for, and seeking out really people that wanted to do something with radio but weren't sure what, because the nice thing about radio is a lot of people have a feeling for it, they want to do something with it, but they don't necessarily know what they can do, they don't have an understanding for it. So we went to look for these contacts and see what could be done and what was needed.
Yeah, also I think the name mobile radio, nowadays everybody thinks of mobile phones and it might have something to do with it, but that wasn't the case. In 2005, we chose the name because it was possible for the first time to be able to make radio from anywhere, because technology was by then developed enough to broadcast from wherever you wanted. You just needed internet access. So mobile in that case meant moving. So going out of the traditional radio studio and bringing the production of radio onto the road, basically.
Okay, good, thanks. Can you tell me a little bit more about the history? You told me that you've been moving a lot with this project. You never thought, you wanted the radio mobile to be always mobile. I mean, how did it work? How did it develop itself? Have you straight ahead have been invited to taking part of a lot of project workshops? How did you develop this project? How did this start and then move on?
Well, while we were still at Resonance, we started to get in contact with other people who were interested in radio art and trying to look at that as a specific area of radio, which was kind of a new thing. I mean, there's been a long time radio art program on Austrian radio, Kunstradio, and of course in Germany there's a tradition of Hörspiel and Klangkunst and different things, but this seemed to be something new, something more grassroots, where people were starting to think, okay, we have the chance to make our own radio, what should we do with it? We have all the possibilities. So that started to become, that was the kind of background radiation that was going on, and anybody who was kind of interested in that started to get in touch with each other. And we got in touch with in one of the first groups of people was Reboot FM in Berlin, and they were very interested, they were very inspired by Resonance in London, and they were setting up their own radio project in Berlin, and they wanted to also bring other radio people together. So one of the first things we did while we were still at Resonance, we had a little bit of money to do a little radio festival and I took care of the on-air part of it and invited some people to come and make radio together. So there were people from about 6 different radio stations around Europe, and they came in and we had different themes each night, and we made some spontaneous radio, and people wrote radio plays as we were on air, because we had a lot of air time, and talked about different things and interviewed each other and brought in other artists. And we realized we really liked working with these people. They really liked working with us, and we decided to try and get people together. And that we managed to do in Berlin. Reboot hosted a series of meetings where we developed more contacts with different people from across Europe, and that developed into what was called the Radia Network. And that's a network of independent, mainly independent radio stations who have people involved who have some interest in radio art. So they either have their own radio art program, or there's a focus on the station where people are more interested in experimental things. And we started having this series of meetings and bringing people together, and then some radio stations did EU projects where they could have a radio element involved, and we did a project in Brussels at Radiophonique Festival, where we had streams coming in from all the different radio stations around Europe, and we had live performers in the room playing with the streams coming in from artists from different places. So we realized it was possible to find people, to work together with people, and that's why, and that's why people started inviting us. They knew we were doing things, so we would get invited to universities to do workshops with their students or to give talks, and we just opened up, and the whole scene opened up, you know. It was a very underground thing at that stage, but there was a feeling something was happening, and that made it possible. And being involved with Resonance, we were suddenly seen as these radio experts, you know, because it was such a great project. People were very impressed, so they wanted to have us around. So it was a really nice thing.
Great. So I'm going to switch directly to one of the questions I wanted to ask you as a third question before coming to the subject of São Paulo Biennale, where I discovered your project. So more generally, what is the philosophy of your project, Mobile Radio? You've been talking a lot about art, artists doing radio projects, artists being involved in sound project, transmissions project. Can you tell me more about generally what is your interest and what's your philosophy of doing a project such as Mobile Radio?
I mean, for me, it has a very—I suppose it has a very strong political basis, although it's not an overt thing. But this feeling of power you get when you take control of your own media, when you realize that not only can you get together with people and do projects, but you can actually set up your own radio station, or you can build yourself a tiny radio transmitter. Suddenly, that completely changes your whole perspective of what media is, and enables you to be part of the media landscape, and you start thinking very differently about everything you do. And it's been amazing in all the projects we've done. The most amazing thing is what you leave behind you, and what you leave behind is that people say, wow, we're going to start this, we're going to do this ourselves, because they really, as soon as they've done it once, they get the bug for it, and then they get the feeling. So it's this sense of empowerment. And I like the fact that it's not just a political thing. We don't go there and say, oh, you must have your own media. It's that's not the reason behind it, but that's the effect of it. And you do that through an artistic way. To me, that's what's interesting about it.
Right.
Yeah, it's not so easy to say. I mean, it's nothing that we really formulated at the beginning. I don't think so. We didn't set out with a clear philosophy. I think it's something that became more clear over time, that we brought a radio aesthetic to the arts. rather than the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
So there is lots of different projects around where art and radio meets one way or the other. And I think ours really comes from this joy and magic that comes out of working with radio, being somebody who's kind of socialized in making radio in a very free form and very experimental way. And I think we have this idea that this is something that is not only good for the radio world in general, so a much broader, more open, experimental approach to radio, but also that it has something to bring to the art world.
Mm-hmm.
It's an unruly element, just like radio is an unruly element.
Mm-hmm.
You always have a little bit of danger, of interference, of being outside of regulations when you work with analog radio. Yeah.
The chaos, reintroducing the chaotic element. And it's something, I mean, the whole thing about radio, when you start making radio, what's so attractive about it is its ephemeral nature. So although nowadays everything is archived, if you're actually working with radio waves, then you have this whole very strong live element, which is something that's, it keeps you connected in a way that it's the same if you're doing live music, which works better in a live environment and not so much in a recorded environment. So you're not fixing something, you're not pinning something down, but you always have this element that anything could happen.
Mm-hmm. I see. So then how was it for you to be in such a big artistic events such as the São Paulo Biennial? I mean, how did you deal with the situation, and what have you done with this all this chaos and such a formalistic structure? Can you tell me more about what happened in São Paulo?
Well, it was very interesting for us. It was a steep learning curve. We realized that we didn't know anything about the art world. And I think maybe the people at the Biennial realized that they didn't know anything about radio. So that was, it was very interesting. The setting was quite amazing, to be inside the beautiful building, to have a purpose-built radio studio to our specifications, which was great. And really, I think our impact was to invite all these people in to do radio with us. We had hundreds of people coming to visit us with sometimes really crazy ideas, and we tried to make them happen. So in a way, we were almost service providers, as well as being, trying to bring our own artistic ideas. And it was a huge amount of work, a 24-hour program for 3.5 months with only 3 people running it.
Mm.
Is quite an effort, and there was a lot of live radio, which is one of the things that we wanted to do. And also we didn't run any repeats at all. That was also something we set out to do. And it was an amazing experience, mostly through the fantastic people that we got to know who came to make radio.
Mm-hmm.
And people came from all over the place. I mean, we were in the very fortunate position that we were able to invite artists from other countries to come and work with us, because one of the things we said is we'd like to have a kind of different flavor to the radio every week. So each week we had a different artist. We had people coming from Japan and Norway and, all over the world that would come spend a week with us as our kind of resident radio artist and do a lot of broadcasts during that week. so that the visitors that came and the local artists that were working with us, they also had experience of a lot of other artists coming in. We wanted it to be a two-way process. We wanted to bring a lot of things in to South America that, you know, people hadn't experienced before, and we wanted to find out what was there and bring that out to the wider world. So we were collaborating with a lot of our radio station partners who were taking some of our broadcasts and material, and sometimes people were making shows in other countries that were coming live, to, especially made for us. So there was a lot of this interchange and exchange. It wasn't just about being physically there in Sao Paulo, but it was like, how can you make this the hub? You know, what are you connected to? You know, what's similar here? What's different here? What are people interested in? And that was really, really fascinating. It was an amazing experience. So we kind of took it, you know, we were in the biennial as an exhibit. Our radio station was our exhibit, which was a really strange position to be in, because artists are not usually at the biennial for 3.5 months. They come in, they put their photo, you know, or their picture on the wall, or their video they install. And then, you know, they're only invited to be there for the opening, and then they have to go away again. So it was very strange for the organization to have us there. They weren't used to artists being there and needing things and, you know, and having a lot of contact with people. So in a way, we became our own little world within the biennial. We became our own little hub, and people came from lots of other countries. They came from Uruguay and Colombia and different places because they heard what we were doing. And they were so excited that something like this was happening that they paid for themselves to come and meet us and to make radio in the BNR. So the fact that it was at the BNR was also really useful for us, because everybody wanted to do something there because it's such a prestigious thing. So that provided the attraction for people to come and work with us. And when people got there, you know, you realize it's the same everywhere you go. You know, you just open up and things happen. And they happen with their own particular flavor wherever you are. And we really adored being in Brazil. You know, we really loved the people. We really loved the attitude and the heart, you know, the openness of people. It was a very direct way to communicate. Mm-hmm. So that was very different.
Mm. Right, thanks. So you previously mentioned the network Radiant.
Radia,
sorry. I was very much interested in that. Also, I know there is a lot of amateur radio all over the world. And there has been a slight shift those last years to the very specific amateur artist radio. I've been mentioning Du Radio Program, Pan Station, Pan-African Space Station, and so on. I've been following this thing as a phenomena very much those last year, seeing more and more radio programs crossing cultural studies and artists project just booming everywhere. What do you think about that? Have you been seeing also things that way, or is it for you something that is not a phenomenon at all? What do you think about this?
It's a huge mixture of things.
Mm-hmm.
I really think there is several worlds colliding, and depending on where people come from, they have different approaches. I mean, in general, we love everything that has the name radio attached to it. But the word radio has become very flexible these days. Yeah. So for us, for example, radio still has something to do with analog transmission.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that we, I think, or at least I think, has a certain quality to it and a certain aesthetic to it, and it provides for a certain approach to how to deal with radio. If you now go and say we do something on the internet, we're not interested in radio, or it's too difficult to get access to radio, or, you know, we think the future is completely internet-based, why should we deal with radio? It still seems to be the case that people like the word radio, and they like to associate themselves with it. Even the words FM, which stands for frequency modulation, is something that has some kind of value attached to it. Like, if you want to buy a URL for your website, and instead of .com or .org or .net, you want .fm, you have to pay 10 times the price. Mm. So it means something, even these two little words, FM, which is really about analog radio, is something that excites people.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of the projects that we see and that we come across, there's such a variety of things. Some stuff is really amazing, and the dedication is fantastic that people have. And some other things seem to be more about some kind of style rather than maybe content or experiment. So it's different. But I think in general you can, maybe that's not right, but projects that last for a long time, you really realize, okay, there is so much dedication, there is a community behind it. And that's always an interesting thing. I think we've made that experience. If you want to make a radio station, you need to have a critical mass of people who are prepared to put in the work. That was even the case for us in Brazil. If we didn't have enough people to come and help and to do things on a regular basis, on a weekly basis, sometimes on a daily basis, we wouldn't have had such an amazing program, and we wouldn't have been able to keep going. So this is something I think that you can find everywhere. If a project is sustained and people really are interested, then it's probably worth looking into, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think I said to one of your students when we were talking to Betty about radio being a multiplier. You know, it can expand everything that you do, and everything can be added onto that. You know, it creates other things. It kind of, it's self-perpetuating. It creates its own universe around it. And even where people are doing some small project with radio, it still has this potentiality to develop into maybe lots of other projects or one other big project where everybody wants to work together. So it really is a community. This is what Knut said about community is really key for us about what radio is about. And the next thing that we're working on is a huge radio art festival in Germany, which will happen in October 2016, called Radio Revolten. And Knut is the artistic director, and I'm one of the curators. And it's really the first chance we're going to have to bring a lot of these artists and maybe some of the projects that you're talking about, or that people can get to know about them. We're going to bring everything together in one place. So we've already invited over 60 artists. I reckon it by the end there'll be about 100 artists coming to Halle for the whole. They won't all stay for the whole month, but it will run for a whole month, and there'll be installation artists, there'll be performances, there'll be on-air work. So, and a lot of the artists will work in several areas. There'll be a Radia meeting, so the whole Radia network will be able to come together. for the first time in years, because we've grown so big now that we can't actually get to meet each other anymore. We now have members in the US and Australia, and they'll be able to come for the first time to meet the other European radio art people. So it will be interesting to see, because there was a festival called Radio Revolt 10 years ago, and the question then was, what's the future of radio? You know, where's it going? And who are all these crazy people, and what are they going to be doing? You know, and now the question is, where are we now? You know, what's going on? Mm-hmm. And it's in a very different state now, and it will be really interesting to show what people are doing in all the different aspects. You know, and radio has all these, you know, you can be as serious as you want or as silly as you want. It's like, represents all facets of people's personalities and the work they're interested in.
Yeah, I think also it's interesting that if you look at the art world now, every single bigger art event has something to do with radio, and has some small radio project that is somehow dedicated to this art thing. And I find that interesting, and I think there is a lot of scope for development, because people are excited by it but don't really know what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you can just sit and discuss the artworks.
Yeah.
You can interview the artists, or you can have a DJ play some music. There's all valid things, but that is something that is normal radio does. You know, but mm-hmm. how can you actually integrate this? How can you bring these two things together? And this is, I think, there is a lot of. It needs some courage to do that. And it needs the right people to do that. And I think more and more we see that this is happening in the art world. You know? So if people are prepared to accept the chaos that goes along with it, which I see in a positive sense, then there is something new growing. But for us, it's always like, you know, okay, there is a new big art thing, there is a radio project, let's have a look at it. Oh, okay, it's boring because they're just talking about art. Or, wow, this is really exciting because they've kind of handed it over to a more creative use.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a parallel development, isn't it? If you're lucky, you still get to do the really creative, artistic project. And if you're unlucky, they're just looking for something to represent them.
Mm-hmm. You
know, so this service provider thing, but not, I mean, we were talking about being service providers, but for the artists, whereas mm-hmm. really, I think in the art world, they're often looking for radio to be the service provider for their art festival, you know, to represent them in some way. And that was very interesting in the discussions around setting up Mobile Radio BSP at the biennial. Because in the beginning, it looked a bit like they were trying to steer us into this approach where we would be their radio station, you know. And at some point, that broke. It really shattered. There was a big kind of division in where we wanted to go and what they wanted to do, and it got very difficult. And then suddenly, by breaking through that, we were free again then to do our thing, and it meant we had to be much more independent and less integrated into the system. But by pushing that through and insisting that we wanted to do it how we wanted to do it, and that we must be broadcasting on FM, they only really were interested in having the internet broadcast. That's what mattered to them, to represent the biennial to the wider world. But when we really pushed and said, no, this is really about radio, and this is our project, and this is what we want to do, then we were kind of standing on our own 2 feet a bit more, but which was actually better for us. You know, it gave us the freedom. Mm. But you had to fight for that.
Mm.
You know, you didn't get given that automatically. You have to actually say, no, you're inviting us as artists, and this is our artwork. You have to take that.
Mm-hmm.